All right, guys. Our Atlanta United continue in the U.S. Open Cup that will resume here. And we're going to talk to Jason Longshore about that. Also, Mike and I have questions about our United States women's national team that continues to compete. And right now, we welcome Jason into the program. It is always brought to you by our friends at Heineken, guys. Great taste, zero alcohol. You know, Jason, Mike asked last week our president, Darren Eales, how important U.S. Open Cup is to us. And, you know, we're trying to, as I said to Darren, is there a pecking order? Mm-hmm. You know, CONCACAF was very important to us when we started the season. Where does this fall? And Darren said, we still want to try to win because we're involved in it. Where would you put this?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at all of them, if they all happen at the same time, which they don't, so you don't have to really make these choices in the same ways, I think right now, coming off of an MLS Cup is always the number one. It's your league championship. It's the hardest one to do. CONCACAF Champions League is harder, but it's over a shorter period of time. Any kind of shorter cup competition, there's some luck that comes into it based off your draw. This time you get the eventual champions in the quarterfinal instead of seeing them maybe in a semifinal or maybe in the final.
Right.
Open Cup, the draw kind of plays into it as well, and it's at a time of year where you're not going to be full strength. You can't be. Joseph Martinez is away.
Right.
You have players that are a little banged up, and you make the best of it. But I thought the group that they played on Thursday and the group that we're likely going to see tomorrow in Columbus will be about as close to first choice as you could be right now.
That's the thing, man. I know that with the Chicago Fire match last year, we trotted out some of the guys we considered backups to Carl's point. And then I saw Vasquez. It was good to see Brandon Vasquez. Like, hey, it's a Brandon Vasquez sighting. Now, unfortunately, there's nobody there to see it at Fifth Third Bank because of the circumstances. But it was decidedly backups, though. I mean, we're kind of sending a mixed message with how we're trotting people out for this thing.
Well, you know, let's look and see who wasn't there. You rotated your goalkeeper because Alec Can doesn't get a chance to play in MLS matches, a cup competition around the world. That's what most clubs do. Leandro Gonzalez-Pirez had the night off. He's been training. Could see him tomorrow. Up top, you had to go with Romario Williams because you did not have Joseph Martinez, and you gave up a goal early. So then you bring in Brandon Vasquez late, and look, for a guy like Brandon, that's why you want to be in this tournament. Because Brandon Vasquez is a guy who was really important to this team in 2017. Mm-hmm. 2018, he had injuries, really lost his form, I think lost his confidence a bit as well. And then coming into this season, he's had some injury setbacks, and it's been up and down for him with Atlanta United too. Getting a couple goals to win the match in an Open Cup match, that's going to help him and puts him more in the mix to come off the bench with the first team down the stretch.
All right, Jason, so there are rumors out there, and I think Darren Eales is trying to dispel those rumors about whether or not they're going to try to move Barco. And I'm going to read a direct quote. Darren Eales, Barco will definitely be here by the end of the season, or until the end of the season. There's actually no doubt about that. So what is this all about when we start talking about, what, the transfer window, and is now the right time to make a move to sell Barco or not?
I don't think it's the right time. July 9th would be when that window opens, and it's open for a month. It will be a window where teams in Europe are going to be very busy and looking for talent, and the rumors that were popping up about Napoli were revolving around Napoli looking for a player that fits Barco's profile.
Right.
I don't think you're going to get the offer that Atlanta United wants to get right now. And the other side of it, too, and these are unconfirmed, these were reports around the time Barco was brought to Atlanta as part of the deal with Independiente, was the sell-on fee. Independiente would get 30% of a sale before the end of 2019. After December 31st, that would drop to 10%. That means it's better business-wise for Atlanta to do it later. I don't think they want to mess up the 2019 season either. I mean, right, as I said before when it started, it would take a ridiculous offer for anything to be considered right now because of how big a part he is of the 2019 season.
No, so many good things happening right now with this team. That's why we hated to have this long extended break where everything was just firing in all cylinders and to win all those games in that compressed schedule that we talked about. Jason Longshore with us, guys, on the WadeFord.com hotline at Longshoe on Twitter to ask him questions you've got. Before we ask you about the U.S. women's team in the World Cup, just real quick, because I'm a Chelsea man, Maurizio Sarri goes to Juventus. We saw Juventus in the All-Star game last year. He did the best he could, got some hardware for Chelsea, got him in a top three finish. Not a bad job, all things considered.
Yeah, 100%. He was never really beloved at Chelsea. And I think it's something that Chelsea fans need to look a little in the mirror. I don't know if you were in this camp, Mike, but Sarri was a guy that people were really frustrated with his style of play. And I think he was trying to build something not just for 1 year of winning trophies, but build a style. Because when you think to Chelsea and you think about how they play, mm-hmm. they don't have an identifiable style.
Nope.
It's one manager after another manager, and they change it, and it's just get great players. And I think clubs are trying to do a little bit more than that now.
It's almost like what De Boer was trying to do with us, and now we finally see the brilliance in it as we struggled with it the first 2 months. But, yeah, I love what Conte did. Players just seemed like it was everybody was on the wrong foot. Just one follow-up on that. Frank Lampard, he's coaching up at Derby. Lampard seems to be the front runner. Can he do this?
He did a great job at Derby this year getting them promoted, but that's a big jump to go from a club like Derby to Chelsea. The pressure is different. Now, I think he would win the fans over immediately, and that would buy him some time to grow into the role. But I don't know if he's ready for that now, but I don't know what other options they really have at this point.
It is Jason Longshore joining us, guys, talking Atlanta United. We talk all things soccer, and especially with the Women's World Cup going on right now. How do you explain Jill Ellis's explanation about Alex Morgan not playing, or at least not starting? Was that a function of some of the things we had heard about the celebrations, or was this simply about spreading around minutes?
I think it was about spreading around minutes. I don't think it was anything to do with the celebrations, but Jill Ellis kind of let it be known to some of the media that are in France following the team that there were a few players that had some little minor injuries or knocks after the first match and after training, and she was planning on rotating the squad anyway in game number two, and that just accelerated the process. Seven changes is a lot, and for a team that, in my opinion, still trying to build really their best soccer, and I don't think they're there yet. Now you go into essentially, you know, not a knockout game against Sweden, but a positioning match against a team that beat you in the last Olympics. It's not going to be easy, and I don't know where the chemistry is for this team on the field right now. It was good that you got your two center backs in together, Dahlkemper and Sauerbrunn, and Jill Ertz playing in front of them. That part's good. The rest of it, I mean, players are in and out of the lineup. It's hard to get any momentum.
And I know that we had the flap over the 13 goals against Thailand. We were of the opinion, look, man, just score as many, get some swagger. I got to be honest, Jason, whatever they're doing, they've got more swagger, they've got more clutch, they've got more finish, more edge than any of the men's teams I've seen the last 2 years on the American side.
They've got more swagger for sure. Now, we're going to find out about the clutch part of it, I think, as we get deeper into this tournament, because things are about to get real for this group really fast. Sweden will be difficult, and that'll be a great test. If you have mistakes there, you can learn from it and bounce back in the knockout round. You're probably going to see Spain in the knockout round, a very good technical team, a team that likes the ball, a team that hasn't scored a ton of goals but is very good in possession. That'll be a tough test. The U.S. beat Spain in Spain 1-0 back in January. And then you're setting up for a quarterfinal showdown with France in Paris. That's the way the bracket plays out. And that is as tough as it gets because Paris and France is the favorite in the tournament, in my opinion.
As far as Atlanta United, let's get back to MLS play, which actually for us doesn't start until the 26th. At Toronto FC, as we get now, you know, this portion of the season underway, and we had Darren Eales in studio for those who missed it last week. He joins us on a weekly basis. He was saying, you know, this is the last big break like this that we're going to see. And hopefully this is the one that we needed. What are you expecting, you know, for us to be better at coming out of this break, Mike? Because, or should I say, Jason, a quick turnaround. Toronto FC, and then Saturday you're playing Montreal.
Yeah, there's a lot of games in a short period of time once you get back on the field. I think now having a break, so you're just physically recharged. Because we saw it in those last couple of matches where the team played very well and played very intelligently, but they didn't have that extra gear that they wanted physically because they were just banged up and tired. You're refreshed there. Now, the work tactically, have you been able to work on that over this period of time? Because the team's been playing well. Can you find another level? Because other teams are not going to sit and do nothing over this break either. Other teams are going to get better at either what they want to work on to improve or what they already do well and get even better at it. Atlanta United has to do the same because this Eastern Conference is going to go down to the wire with D.C. and Philadelphia holding on near the top and the two New York teams coming up with Atlanta.
I know that we've kind of dismissed Philly, but they just keep on trucking. Speaking of clutch, man, they know how to finish.
Yeah, and they've gotten two big, like, character-building wins in their last two league games. Coming back against Minnesota, coming back against the Red Bulls, I don't think you can discount the Philadelphia Union at all.
Jason, it's always good to talk with you, man. We appreciate you jumping on with us, as always, and it's brought to you by our friends at Heineken, guys.